Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast.
Bulldogs get a win against the Dolphins. It was a nerve-wracking one. Welcome to the Bulldogs Fans Podcast. I'm Scott and I'm joined by Matt, like always. How are you, mate?
Good, good. It's never easy, is it? It's never easy.
No, we can never put a game away. Always have to take it to the dying minutes. And I mean, a first half field goal. Might as well start with the game.
Right, do it. Yeah, okay.
Let's get friends with it.
Yeah, apparently some people were making fun of Burton for kicking a field goal in the first half, apparently, to make it 11 points to 8. I don't know about making fun of him, though. I never thought of that. I did think it was quite curious, obviously unexpected. You know what my first thought was, though? My first thought was that 2 points? I think he kicked it from about 35 out from memory, and I wasn't paying attention to where the set was in that situation, as in where on the field exactly it was. And it was fairly long-range field goal. So for a second or two, I thought he's kicked a two-pointer. And the scoreboard on Fox was wrong. But no, it was, I think, about 35 out in the end, 1 point. So
very unusual, because it wasn't the last tackle. And now there's 40-odd seconds left until halftime when he went for the snap. So it wasn't like at last, you know, the play. Yeah, sometimes it's five, or you've got five and last, and there's 30 seconds left, or the siren's about to go, and you just snap one for the sake of doing it because you've got nothing else to do. There was still like a set half a set could have been played out too.
Well, I suppose in that aspect, it was smart, wasn't it? Did it without pressure on him, basically.
Yeah,
and he hit it well. It was a good looking field goal. Drilled it straight through the sticks at Bundaberg.
Cameron Serrato. He was in shock. He looked like he was, what was happening there?
He looked as puzzled as the rest of us.
Yeah, like a 3-point lead into halftime, not even a try. Like, what's that to block the Dolphins' penalty goal, is it? So they couldn't level it up.
Interesting enough, if people watch the other games on Sunday, Cowboys played Titans, and I think it was the Cowboys kicked a field goal to take a 3-point lead into the halftime as well. 13 points to 10. When was the last time two teams led at halftime by 3 points on the same day?
How many times does that happen, though? Like in a round, or more particularly the same day, when something happens that you'd never... And then it happens, and then obviously the Cowboys would have had no idea.
Yeah, whenever something odd happens, it seems to happen in pairs.
The Cowboys...
You could take that all the way back. There might be other examples, but you can take that all the way back to the first replay grand final. Something like, don't have the exact figures in front of me. When was it? Late 70s. So I think it was 78 and 79. Something like 70 years of football, it hasn't happened. A replay grand final that happened back to back. That sort of stuff is riddled throughout rugby league history.
Yeah, and that's funny because the Cowboys have had no idea. They've been preparing for their game. I doubt they might have had the TV on in the sheds.
Oh, I'm sure they would have. Yeah, professional but, team, they would have been all prepared for their own.
Yeah, so you would have had no idea. Maybe one of them might have saw it, but you know, no idea. In general, no idea what's going on. Really,
definitely no connection for sure.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying though. Like, it's funny how that happens. Like, it wasn't like the game was played at like that game was a 6 p.m. game, and it was a 2 p.m. game. Where they could have actually maybe heard the results and seen that they were going to a 3-point half time.
Well, it's all connected, I guess.
No, it's just weird how that field goal, let's ignore the end result. Where were you sitting on that? Were you scratching your head? Were you going, what were you doing? Because I thought it was, I thought it was the dumbest play at the time. I thought it was a ridiculously stupid play. But at full time, my opinion changed.
Of course. Look, where I was sitting, I don't think you can call scoring any points a stupid play. Points are points.
Yeah, right? Fair enough.
It's only 1 point, but it was a point. Look, I wasn't expecting it, obviously. And when it happened, I sort of sat there in a bit of curious nature, a little bit of shock, I guess, going, where did he pull that from? However, in saying that, as soon as it happened, he got it, so it's a point on the board. And while a 3-point lead is not, doesn't change a lot unless you've like you said, there's no more points in the second half and stopping the Dolphins going for a penalty goal, perhaps. But look, once the point was on the scoreboard, my mind went to, okay, he's kicked it. That's a point to us. It'd be interesting to see how this plays out, if that comes into play at all throughout the rest of the game. And it didn't really until right at the very end, which I suppose we touch on right now. Let's go. You asked me how I was feeling after the field goal. How are you feeling after the Dolphins' last try?
Well, I thought we've lost it, to be honest.
Yeah.
The goal kick, thankfully, Chimena Saka's a great goal kicker. He's been this year. I know he's had some up and down moments, but overall, he's a good goal kicker. Thankfully for the win, hey.
I thought he was going to slot it, but in looking back at it, it wasn't right on the sideline and it wasn't too far close in. It was kind of in that sort of middle area. You wouldn't say it was on the sideline, but you wouldn't say it was close. In that sort of area, I don't know if players practice less from there or whatnot, but that sort of area where it's not right on the sideline can cause a couple of issues for players. And yeah, you're right, it was very windy as well. But yeah, when the try was over, I thought that's game. He's going to slot this easily and that will be it.
And the heartbreak. But that causes a moment earlier in the game where the first goal kick attempt raised eyebrows and had a few people questioning the legitimacy of the goal kick. They think it waved to the right and then the flames went up.
Yeah, look, that was my reaction too. I thought it was a missed goal watching it live. But I think something to keep in mind, I don't know what you're going to say about it, but something to keep in mind is it was not a regular NRL ground and it was quite evident the cameras weren't in the same spots. Well, so I don't know if it's just a broadcast thing made it look that way or whatnot, but yeah, it looked like it missed.
I don't think the posts were regular either. Yeah, I think it was a little bit smaller than a core.
Well, would have been interesting. That doesn't matter anyway because they go up forever.
No, I know, but I was wondering. But I'm actually going to say this. I've now watched it twice, and both times I thought it was a goal.
Yeah. Well, that's.
I was happy. I could see the tightness in it, and I might be the odd Bulldog fan out here, but when I watched it.
You could be right. It could be the old blue and white goggles on. I think something happened like this early in the season as well between two teams not connected to the Bulldogs, and there was a blow-up from one fan base, and I thought it was clearly in. So maybe it's, yeah, the goggles we're watching it for.
I think the illusion, I think what he does is I think he kicks it over the post. Like, the height was over the post. I think he sneaks it just in the right-hand upright. I think it was right-hand upright, and then hooks back after, so it makes it look like he went over and missed it. But I thought as it went through, I think it went through the post first, and then I was putting the post up all the way, trying to pretend the post, and I thought he just got it in, and then it just kept going in that direction to make it look like a miss. But there was so many times, like you said, the camera angles.
Well, Warren Smith even fell for it, saying it was missed, and it was it 6-4 at the time, or 4-all?
It was 6-2. They went up.
But he called it as if the goal had missed. He even read out the score as if the goal was missed. Yeah,
I thought it was fine, but in saying that, there's even some illusions when the players are about 5 or 10 meters to the post and they just get it in and they film it from behind like they used to in the early 2000s. It used to always look like it missed. Under the camera illusion, it looked like it would miss and then the flames would go up and you go, how is that a goal? But then you watch it from behind them. Yeah. So there is different little camera illusions sometimes to make it look worse than what it is. Yeah, so I was happy. I was happy with it. And I've seen it again and I still feel like it was a legitimate goal. But then also saying that with the camera illusions, surely the two touches and the referee on the field live.
Well, that's the thing. All three of them didn't even, what's the word? Didn't even like blink, right?
Then even Jermaine Sacco.
Both went up, referee went up. Just play on. So
Jermaine Sacco ran back like normal. Like if he heard the whistle and thought, you know, the whistle's gone and he thought he missed you, I reckon he would have taken a weird look to make sure that was correct. But he just ran off like he was back to the normal job.
The officials were obviously in better spots than we were watching from hundreds of kilometres away on the screen at a venue that's not a regular ground. Disappointing crowd, only just over 5,000 attended, over 8,000 attended last year. So we are going back next year. So hopefully some sold out. So hopefully, I don't know, people not showing up or whatnot, but hopefully some improvements made to that field to at least pushed up to around 9,000 so we could keep going back there. If not, I don't think we can continue doing that. That's a very poor crowd.
Too small.
Yeah, if you take a game to country areas, the minimum is 9,500 for me.
Yeah.
They should always be sold out. That's taking into account the smaller capacity, but that's a different topic. That could be an off-season topic, I don't know. But the game itself, Dolphins Bulldogs, wasn't the greatest game to watch quality-wise. However, I have heard neutrals say it was a fun watch. I don't know if it was a fun watch for Bulldogs and Dolphins fans.
No.
Up and down, back and forth. But Scotty, for me, the most impressive thing, in my opinion, of the game from a Bulldog perspective, was the defense. Now, don't get me wrong, wasn't perfect. Still some things to work on in defense. But we finally saw a few things go against the team, errors and penalties in our own half, and we held out a team multiple times. That's a step in the right direction for mine. We've spoken about that multiple times, lack of a backbone or things go against us. We just concede a try. And I know the Dolphins have been on the way down. However, that's definite progress and improvement that we wanted to see. So I was happy to see that.
And I reckon no coincidence that a man called Viliami Kika returns. And we start to see stuff like that. A bit of a senior forward comes, which he's played multiple massive games. And we haven't seen him much this year, unfortunately. But he returns and we start getting a backbone. Is it a coincidence? But I start to think like someone like him returning has helped. Just a bit of belief around everyone.
Need to hit the gym and build that backbone to be a bit stronger than it is. But it's great to see one.
Yeah, no, but I just mean like, yeah, it's we finally get that senior experienced grand final winner back in our team. Finally, it feels like he hasn't played all year really, and then we start to have this the resilience and things go against us. Fine. I wonder if there's any talk from him out there. I don't know if he's a massive talker or just having him on the edge, people start to believe. People start to believe he's an absolute legend of the game already. Well, in his young career, he's done a lot.
It's a good point you make, because we were seeing slight building blocks early in the season around this type of thing that we're talking about. Sort of disappeared with the number of injuries we've had. But, yeah, good to see that come back. Speaking about kicker, I think he played 61 minutes and it wasn't it was a very good lock for someone who hasn't played for most of the season. If you look at his numbers, it wasn't, overly impressive. But I think it was 61 minutes on return. That's great. And you just mentioned it a second ago. His presence on the field, I think in attack and defense, made a huge difference. Even using him as decoy type deal. The defense can't ignore somebody like Kikau, right?
Yeah, running near the line, you're 100% right. Like, crazy.
He scored a try just for a sheer size, basically.
Almost scored two.
Marty set it up. Marty got him one-on-one. But, his size played majority factor in that one.
Yeah, and then you had him almost with a Burton kick, desperation to stop him from scoring a second one. So already popping a big threat. And he is a big part of our attacking play this year. And what about the new Bulldog, Mr. Liam Knight, who comes into the side, team straight to the side? There was obviously Raven Patel around and missed. And Liam Knight wasn't named in the 17, but they said Harry Edwards was the one replacing him, even though Harry was in the 17 the day before. So very confusing. But apparently Liam Knight was playing no matter what, even though he wasn't in the 17 at all the whole week.
Yeah, I think that was just some paperwork. The Bulldogs had to get final approval from the NRL. So that was just that. But
Bit of experience. He's an older, not an old boy, but he's a bit older.
He's an experienced forward. I'd say he's an experienced forward. So he's played some big games for Souths as well. Good NRL experience. But, I was going to say, great first hit out too. Obviously, we'd want to kick out at night to build on those games. But for a first hit out with a new team, fantastic. You know what stood out to me, though, was his size. Now, we know we've got a smaller forward pack, right? And we've had some injuries that hasn't helped in that regards. But when he took the field in the Bulldogs jersey, his size compared to the other players around him in the forwards, that was hugely noticeable for me. It really highlighted, by comparison, how small our pack is to other teams.
Yeah, I thought it was weird too, because he wasn't the first. I thought he'd be the first forward on my rotation. And I don't know if it knows. I was like, where is. I was watching the game. I was like, where's Liam Knight? Then bang, he made a tackle. Straight into a tackle. And I was like, interesting how that happens when you're wondering where a player is. But yeah, he is a big body who's played some decent games for South Sydney. I think the way that he went this year at South is the reason why he's here, like as in injuries at the wrong time. And you know, it's like when you're that type of player, you just can't really afford an injury, can you, to stand at 17? You get injured and you almost lose your spot. So it was a good pickup, actually. I think he'll be a good pickup. He'll help the bench rotation. I think he can play decent minutes too, so it'll definitely help out instead of us trying to slog it forward, like, you know, making Maxi King play 60-70 minutes week in, week out. We can try to limit him so we can have more impact from him, because I thought he actually played his best game for a long time, Maxi King, as well. I just started to notice him a little bit more.
Yeah, I think you'll build Liam Knight, that is, build on those minutes and that performance as well. But yeah, like I said, very solid first sit out in new colours, very, very happy with him, and very good pick up there as well. Another player, Scotty, that I was impressed with, Toby Sexton. Second time he got a full 80 out, second win, two tries assist. And we keep, when we talk about Sexton, I keep saying this, but he's definitely given direction to the side, hasn't he?
Funny, for the neutral fan, like you watch just go back and watch the Bulldogs and Broncos game and see the Bulldogs being up there and probably the better side or even at least equal to the Brisbane Broncos.
And so we get some defensive deficiencies, yep.
Yeah, but like just the attack, like, and then we get injured, like he was causing headaches for the Broncos. And no, the injury was definitely a freak accident, but I bet you the Broncos were like, oh, thank God. Like he was a pain in our ass, that whole 30-odd minutes he played. Like he was just causing little bits of things. And Broncos, I've never said the Broncos, you know, this year have had a good year. And then Toby, I know they were a little bit weakened, but Toby was pulling them apart a little bit, and then he gets injured. And I mean, it looked likely for the time he goes off. So that's the type of thing. Then he goes off, and then you can see what's been missing at the Bulldogs. So it's funny, like he knows more when he's not there what happens, you know what I mean, for a fan. So good to have him back. Compliments Burton a lot. Makes Burton a better player. So another good mid-season pickup. So far, so well. He's passed everything that he's been asked to do. He's done more than what I think the fans have already expected. And not the early days still, but...
100%. Overall, though, to sign off on the game, we should have won by a lot more, though. We had three or four clear opportunities to pull away from the Dolphins on the scoreboard. Failed to manage to do that, but we did hold in there for a close win at the end. And I do feel like, Scotty, that the better team on the day won the 2 points. So yeah. It would have been nice to pull away from the Dolphins and win by, I don't know, 12, 16 points. Definitely possible. Yeah,
the two tries that I think you're referring to is the Avrilo back in the inside, so the Preston's Avrilo, where it looked like he launched out the cannon at him.
Very disappointing, but I'm sure I'm willing to bet Preston doesn't make that mistake in his career again.
Yeah, 100%.
He's that type of player. He'll definitely learn from that.
Yeah, and then I think the Braden Burns one, Blake Wilson's kick to Braden Burns, which ended up being a dropout anyway. We've got a repeat set from it, so it wasn't the worst result. He could have kicked it dead or something, which would have been, what are you doing? But it's something, I might bring that point up, it's something I think I've noticed about Blake Wilson. I think he likes to make things look pretty. Because how good would that have been if Brandon Burns dived on that ball and scored the try? It would have looked good, it would have been on the highlight reels. But if you look the week before, Blake Wilson takes a short side on and gets his foot touched and he runs out. And I thought there was ample opportunity to try to cut back in a run.
Yeah. I don't know if he wants to make things look pretty or if it's just showing his inexperience at the moment.
Maybe a bit of experience. You might be right, a bit of experience. But 2 weeks in a row, how good would that try been against the Panthers if he stayed in?
Yeah. Well,
and if his foot touched, he would have...
Speaking about Blake, he played on the left wing. pushing Josh Adakar off to the right.
He did, yeah.
Interesting. I don't know if anyone was expecting that. Josh Adakar's been left wing for since he's been with us, pretty much. He has played right throughout his career, but he prefers the left. And Adakar and Wilson on the wings. Wilson on the left. You would think the rookie would have to move across.
Yeah, you would agree for the senior competitor. But Braden Burns ended up playing both sides of the field.
Yep. Before we talk about Braden, just a quick wrap to either Josh Adakar or Kevin Serrano, whoever made that decision. If Adakar put his hand up to say, I'll play right so the young guy could feel more comfortable, or if Serrano made that change, it worked.
Has Serrano said Blake Wilson's the best winger in the club?
If it was a decision by Serrano, I think it would have been about who's less worse on the right. Mm-hmm. That's not having a shot at any player. But I wonder if Josh put his hand up and be happy to play right to assist Blake feeling a bit more comfortable at this level. Mm-hmm. Either way, whoever had the final say in that decision, I feel they deserve a rap. That was it's what's on the walls at Belmore, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Top first, team second, individual third. So very well done. Braden Burns, yeah, he had almost, I was going to say a breakout game, kind of felt that way, hey, because he's been hampered by injury a lot in his career, so to play the way he did on the weekend was fantastic.
Could you maybe say with the wing point, maybe having Burns and Wilson, they thought that defensively them two would be better, and then Jacob Kras is very new to centre, like a lot of his career is playing wing. And having him next to Josh Adakar and try to move those two. Because then if you had Burns and Adakar together, that's one lethal side and very experienced side. Then you have Carrez who's playing centre who hasn't played much top grade at. And then
I guess the Wilson. Only thing about that is Carrez has played there with less experienced wingers in the weeks earlier anyway. So.
Well, I've always mentioned saying that you need to make sure you put the right person next to each other so they can... But...
Right, but yeah, Braden had a good game. It's interesting, we're going to go into the player of the year competition, Scotty, but a couple of those players that we just mentioned probably are lucky not to get some points. And interesting enough, we're actually very, very similar with players we've chosen this week. I thought it wasn't going to be that case. I thought we could have had four different players, but funny how things work out. You start with your 1 point.
So my 1 point, which probably you could argue that he should have got 2 points statistically, but I've given him 1 point. It's Jacob Preston, who's played the 80, even though Viliami Kikau returned. The guy's just not even a player now, eh? Who would have thought? You said he'd be lucky to play a handful of top-grade games the way it was for the start of the year, but he's... been in all but one. 8 runs, 108 metres, 29 post-contact metres, 5 tackle breaks. He's an absolute headache in attack. A line break, 40 tackles.
Yeah.
What more? Like, geez, he's not just a defensive workhorse. He's a pain in the neck when it comes to the attack. He makes something happen around him. He's just a something around him player, and he just looks like a bulldog.
That's why he got my 2 points. I also had written down here 1 bomb try, but we already covered that. Don't know if that's a stat. Was it the Fox Lab? Jesus, bomb tries.
Get out of here.
Okay, and so you got your 1 and my 2. The other player went the other way with your 2 and my 1. Viliami Kikau. We already spoke about him a little bit. Earlier on in the episode, for me, it was the eye test, Scotty.
Yeah.
But five tackle breaks on return as well. 1 point for me, 2 points for you.
I think his presence makes everyone, or made a lot of the forwards better. I even think his presence even made Tevita Pengai Jr. better. I thought played pretty decent as well. So I thought it was one of Tevita's better games. And it's funny just having, isn't it funny just having a player in your team at a caliber? Of in any sport, really, you have them, and then it makes the other players better.
Absolutely.
And then some people might have said, oh, he played really well kick out, but he doesn't deserve points. I think he does. But it's funny.
Difference it made to the team as well, like you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. Pegai Jr., though, just don't pass the ball, mate. You're huge. Just you're hugely fast, and you've got high agility. Just run.
Just funny how a person does that. Really weak. Even players who don't even play their positions better because they just feel confident with having them in the team. And I don't know if it's words that Viliami says that goes across to anyone, or he's just him just standing there. You feel a bit taller and a bit stronger because he's got your back when you know something happens. So,
all right. So, update on the Player of the Year award. We have a new leader.
What's
it's no surprise if you've been following along the last couple of weeks. Jacob Preston, he's up top, first spot, 16 points. Second is tied, Max King, Jack Averillo, 13 points. So that means fourth is Jacob Carraz on 11, and fifth is Matt Burden on 10. So the bonus points there helping Preston have a little bit of a lead up at the top of the table there.
I think it looks more accurate, though. I still think people have forgotten how good Max King's start to the year was until his injury. So I think it's very accurate to how the season's panned out and how good Jacob Kiraz was the start of the season before his injury as well. He was dominating, running just 200 metres for fun. Like, on a bad day, it's like 200 metres for Jacob. Okay. So I think it goes to show. And I think both of them are starting to come back. So don't ride Maxi King off, because I think he looked really good.
There's some news for us to go through, Scotty, but before we do, let's do a bit of a wrap in the lower grade. So you're getting the competition ladders up for us. Jersey Flag on the weekend at Belmore Sports Ground, 22-all draw with the Sydney Roosters. I'd give that as a win to the Roosters.
Yeah, it wasn't a good week for us, was it?
Let's stick to Jersey Flag for now.
Yeah, no,
top of the table, Roosters getting the win there. 22 or draw. Maybe I've just got very high expectations for Jersey Flag too.
Yeah, I mean, 22-all. Someone said, how did the gameplay? I only saw the result. Like, do you have like a halftime score?
The halftime score was 10-6 to the Bulldogs.
10-6 to the Bulldogs. Okay, that makes no sense. But yeah, we are sitting. That was an important game for us because we're sitting second to the Roosters. We're now on 37 points and we're on 33.
And the Roosters, I think, have created some bit of a gap overlay up there.
Yeah, so it's 4 points now. So the draw was, I mean, the win would have been perfect for them, would have thing, but a win for us would have closed that little gap and given us a real striking distance at taking the minor premiership. Yeah. So it's still there, but it's looking very unlikely. We need like a Roosters little stuff up or an upset.
Hopefully the team learns from that, and next time in the finals, perhaps, when we come up against them again, we'll be able to use that experience for the win. But I'm sure they'll be thinking the same there. That was at Belmore on Friday. The game following that was Lissos Cup. Slide continues, unfortunately. Roosters 26-16 over the Bulldogs. Roosters at the pretty much at the bottom of the ladder.
They are.
Bulldogs sliding terribly. Unfortunately, what seemed like almost a pre-counted trophy in the cabinet is starting to, the wheels have fallen off.
The finals, top five.
Roosters, yeah, that's scary. Roosters 18-0 at halftime and finished with 26-16.
Yeah, Roosters, just, you said pretty much the bottom, are on the bottom. That was their fifth win of the season. Of course, the Roosters are filling in two teams, the Sydney Roosters as the Bears coming first. It's very weird being a Roosters fan, having
Bears come first. The Bears do have some of their own players, though.
Oh, yeah, of course they do.
As well, so it's not all Roosters players at the Bears.
Oh, team. No, I'm just saying, but the Roosters, yeah, a few players have been going to the Bears and then obviously to the Roosters. But, yeah, the Roosters are sitting last. And we went into the round sitting second, and then the loss has knocked us down. So we've coming third, but the scary thing is the Jets are fourth on 27th. The Panthers are fifth on 26. The Blacktown Workers Seagulls are on 26 points. The Rabbitohs are on 26 points. The Raiders are on 25. So from third to eighth is not much of a gap. There's a match in it, or under a match in it. So if we did not pull our socks up and get a win, we could be sitting potentially eighth next week. And
Blacktown's finishing strong in particular.
Yeah, Blacktown, you've got the Panthers all coming in strong as well. The Jets are surely going to make it. They always do. And then you got the Raiders, who are in striking distance, and you probably, maybe the Dragons and Magpies are still within a chance. Very much maybe results need to go their way to bring it back, but they just got to worry about winning games and hopefully things just fall in their favour. But we're no certainty. At one stage, we look like we're winning the minor premiership, and then second would be a poor result. Now we're like, oh, we've got to keep in that top five.
Yeah, and over in the Queensland Cup, the Western Clydesdales losing to the Central Queensland Capras 26-10 at home, unfortunately.
Was that game played on Sunday?
Saturday.
Why wouldn't we do a double header with them?
No.
No, but I'm just thinking, like, wouldn't it make sense?
Maybe they didn't want to give up their home game in Toowoomba.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just thought maybe it would have been a bit of a cool thing, an experience to play a relatively big crowd for them.
Yeah, possibly. I'm not sure if there was a curtain raiser up there. Maybe it was a local thing or a junior thing.
Mm. And the Clydesdale sitting in a third position.
Absolutely.
On 8 points. And the Cutters are closing. They're on six.
Alrighty. All right, a few things to run through here. Jamin Salmon's signature has been officially signed. We spoke about that last week, so we won't keep talking about that too much. I think our opinions are on the record, so to speak. Raymond Fatala-Mariner missed the Dolphins game, but he's been confirmed to be back next week after the bye. Liam Knight signing to the Bulldogs means that Fa'umu Brown has been moved on to the Newcastle Knights.
I'll just say, again, he's been moved on.
I know, you'd be disappointed with that one.
Oh, I just mean, it was just odd. I thought he was doing okay, then got injured, and then I thought he did all right against the Broncos as 18th man. And then when he didn't make the side, I marked around and said, yeah, he's gone. Like, he's leaving us, thinking next year, not not this year. And now, but good luck to him. I think he's just one of those players that, you know, again, an injury, like Liam Knight, got injured at the wrong time, unfortunately, saw that he missed out. But, yeah, I mean, with Toby Sexton kind of coming, I know Brown was playing hooker and lock and stuff, but I think with Toby Sexton and Flanagan turning into hooker, no one saw that at the start of the year. No one was telling me Kyle Flanagan was going to play hooker off the bench and NRL eventually. Or, you know, so that kind of knocked out New Brown accidentally.
Or starting. He started the other week.
That's true. Good point. He started the fortnight ago.
We're not going to speak about the field goal crap that's going on in the media with the barbs flying from the Fox guys to the Nine guys to the Fairfax.
Oh, I haven't really.
We're going to leave that. No, neither do I, but I know it's happening, but we're not
going to. I have no idea.
I have no interest in it, to be honest. Anyway, Fox League, though, is reporting that the Bulldogs have signed Siwa Takiaho from the Catalan Dragons. The Tongan international was part of the Roosters' back-to-back premierships in 2018 and 2019. $500,000 per year for 2 years. In my opinion, it's a great signing. The leadership he'll bring will be immense. And I know there's been some discussion about is $500,000 too much. I don't think so. You've got to remember the salary cap is going up in big chunks at the moment. $500,000 from next year, in my opinion, will be the equivalent of a 350 to 400K player from last year.
So be more about around your average.
We'll put it this way.
Higher than your average.
That's right. So from next year going forward, a $1 million player won't mean the same as what a $1 million player means now.
Yeah.
because the
millions dollar play will turn to 800, wouldn't you? Maybe 750.
No, go the other way. A player that's worth $1 million now will be worth 1.1, 1.2.
Oh no, I'm just saying if a player was to get $1 million, it'd be like 750.
Oh yeah, the other way.
That's
yeah.
what I meant. Well, that's what I meant.
I did a bit of research just to give you give everybody an idea of how quickly it's changing. In 2022, this NRL salary cap was 9.6 million per season. In 2023, it's 12.1. So that's okay. That's a big jump in 2023. Now we don't know what the salary cap in 2024 will be. We need to wait till some people take some stickers off some logos and sort out some crap in the background. But once that's done, we probably expect 12.1 to jump to it. I would say at least 12.4, 12.5 million for 2024. It may even jump. It may even be a similar jump from 2022 to 2023. We don't know. I know that I did try to find there was an expected figure for next year out there somewhere. I couldn't find it tonight when I was putting this together. But yeah, $500,000 in a $9.6 million salary cap. And if we're being conservative, 2024, that was last year, 9.6, 2022. If we're being conservative next year, 12.4 to $12.5 million salary cap is obviously not the same. So I'm not concerned about the money at all.
If it stays the same, just hypothetically.
Yeah.
Luke Thompson is all but gone, right? So let's make the assumption Luke Thompson's gone.
Media reports are he's been told to leave, yes.
Yeah, so and we'll have a chat about him because he made a return on the weekend as well. Reports say he's around between 750 to 850. Let's go to the low end of 750 on media reports. I don't know we're going with media, and we're going with media reports as well. So that's still a $250,000 saving if they replace each other. So I'm just saying, that's $250,000. Yeah, yeah. We lose a prop, then we get him, and then the salary cap just stays. There's $250 saved. Now, if the salary cap does increase by whatever, that's $250 saved plus what it goes up by. You know what I mean? So it could turn out to be a $300,000 to $500,000 savings accidentally.
I don't know if it's accidentally, but yeah.
I just mean the Blake Taft, people were saying, I think the reports Blake Taft's on 250 a year and Jack Avalo was on 450 a year. So when people are starting to say, where does the salary cap come from? Well, when you lose a player, then you sign another player on a cheaper figure.
And the salary cap goes up at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The salary cap goes this way, goes up, and you're signing people below value, because you've got to remember Blake Taft would be coming for the opportunity to play top grade. That is where I think the big sale point is. So we didn't have to go with this $450,000 offer to take him from Souths. We go, here's your top grade spot, the number one jersey, looks like it's yours, whatever. I know it's not everything's 100% guaranteed, but it looks more likely to be his. So that's how you save money, because...
Well, it was touted to be Steve Crichton, so I wonder if...
He had a car too.
It happened about a car as well, but they never eventuated. Wonder if Taft's been told that it's not your jersey, but you've got a fair dinkum chance of nailing down that spot because we don't know who it is. So you might not be up against Crichton in the off season, but if you outdo him in the off season, your spot, just like Perham took the spot this year. So perhaps that. Maybe we'll see it move around between the two. I feel like there's two camps of Bulldogs fans at the moment. There's camps that want Crichton to be straight at fullback. There's camps that kind of want him to keep at centre. For me, I know this is a bit off your point, Scotty, but for me, with Taff in the squad, I'd prefer Crichton at centre.
Yeah, but also it was interesting, a lot of Souths fans that wish Taff the best, which is also a good sign that a good player, the player's leaving, they're excited for him to actually be the NRL player he deserves. That's what one fan said. It was you need to be the NRL player you deserve to be, and it's just not happening at the moment here. Some were saying that he would make a killer halfback.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know about that.
I don't know, but I just don't know where that came from. It's not like he played a bit of halfback in New South Wales Cup, and then he was just put at fullback because that's the position that they had available, and he just plays both, you know what I mean?
I think he did play some halves footy and his junior footy below cup, but I think he's a fullback.
Because Toby Sexton, excuse me. Excuse me.
It's kind of weird, though, to let Avarillo go and buy Taff. Anyway. Luke Thompson made his return in the cup last week. Apparently he did all right on this old stat sheet, but I think he's probably playing for a deal elsewhere right now.
Yeah, and I hope for him, like, I've seen a lot of social media backlash on him, saying that, seeing him on Instagram, I don't know. I don't use Instagram too much. I'm not a fan of that platform personally, but saying that he's enjoying his life in Australia too much and him going out, don't know what else he can really do with an annoying injury. And that we talk about, you know, players' mental health. He's trying to find the best case scenario. And remember, he's a Pom that gets to see good weather in winter. And it's been a good winter. So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just hasn't worked for him at the Bulldogs. Hey, he's almost been the
Bulldogs player of the year, wasn't he?
For our podcast. But like overall, when you look back 100%. At what's happened, he's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of when we signed Brett Howland.
Yes. Yeah,
it just didn't work. I don't think Howland had as many injuries, but it just really didn't work.
Isn't that funny? That's another point too. The players can be such gun players, and I'm sure Luke Thompson, I want to say this, Luke Thompson signs with whoever the Dragons have reported, right? He'll end up, and I reckon, if he stays in the NRL, he'll be a good player, at the very least. He'll be a good NRL player. And I have no doubt about it because he showed too much signs here. It just keeps getting injured at the wrong time. But isn't it funny? Sometimes when a player signs with a club, it just doesn't work out.
Yeah. And I would wish him the best. If he was to sign with another team that's not Manly, I'd wish him the best at any team, really.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe not the Roosters as well. Anyway.
Sell it Manly and the Roosters, but we wish you the best.
Why are you listening to this? If you're a fan of those teams. Anyway, is there anything else you want to add, Scotty?
Well, Phil Coulls did confirm. This is the thing that I've been looking at Phil Coulls' account, not this Fox League thing. This is news to me. So,
Phil saying that certain teams can't win premierships and other teams are saying Brisbane's involved, South's involved. I don't know. It's just all.
Okay.
So what is it called? Soap drama, crap. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Curtis Moran has agreed to a new contract for the Bulldogs.
Yes.
He'll be at Belmore next year, so I don't know the details. So I don't know if it's a 2-year extension. I don't know if it's a 10-year extension. I doubt it's a 10-year extension or just a 1-12 months. And Harrison Edwards is in negotiation to put pen to paper as well. Very confident that Harry Edwards stays put. Both, I think, performed well. Unfortunately, Curtis Moran was one of the omissions from the team on the weekend, and he didn't play anywhere on the weekend. And I thought he's had a really good year, and everything he's been asked to do. I feel like even when we lose, you never go, oh, because Curtis's performances, Curtis has always performed well. Very small body.
Very happy that he's staying.
Very good. Very good player. Very good Bulldog heart, and very recognizable last name in Belmore as well.
Salmon also has been compared by Phil Gould this week that I saw recently to Wade Graham.
That's a big one because
it's interesting comparison, but I can see it. I can kind of see it.
Interesting one because I know Wade hasn't had the best year this year, and sometimes when you don't have one good year, you get remembered for that more than what you actually done. But Wade, what a player he is and was. Particular a few years ago, where especially the 2016, but even before that, you know, the back row for Cronulla Sharks.
Consider transition 5-8 to second row across two teams. It's amazing.
Was unreal. Great player, great talent. Blacktown boy too, I think. Great player, but so I reckon Sam's gone. Oh yeah, if I can do half what Graham's done,
he's probably ahead of Graham at the same point in his career because he's had. Or exposure to it. But anyway, that's a comparison that I didn't think of, but when I heard it, I sort of went, yeah, that makes sense. And obviously for us, hopefully that.
And Benning, Gus has been a big fan of him since under nines.
Under nines, Oztag, I thought it was, I think he said. Yeah. So that's interesting. Anyway, apart from that, this weekend the NRL team has a bye. Obviously, Jersey Flegg will be playing 1 p.m. Saturday against the South Sydney Rabbitohs at Redfern Oval. Rabbitohs down the bottom of the ladder, so hopefully no issues there for the Bulldogs getting
get the back in the
winner's circle.
Yeah, get to secure that second spot and just see if we can maybe jag first if results go away.
That's right. And in the New South Wales Cup, they'll be joining the NRL, having the week off.
Thank God.
They need a bit of a some time to readjust the sports, get the season back on track.
Tell you what, Luke Thompson, though, we know we felt sorry for him because of all these injuries, but geez, he gets back, he returns. I'm sure the next thing you want to do is back that up, even if it was New South Wales Cup again. Like some are saying, he'll come back to top grade before the end of the year. He might jag a game or two. I'm not too sure about that.
Carl Ola'apu is supposed to be back for the next game as well, tipped to play in the New South Wales Cup for the rest of the year.
I think that's where he should have been
there all season. But
great player.
Ola'apu, Thompson dropping back. Hopefully they can steady the ship and be told, you know, go win us that trophy this year.
Thompson in your engine room, he could be the difference of why we win a grand final if he stays fit for the rest of the year. I reckon he'll get an exemption too because of, I mean, he'll probably play the minimum games actually if he can stay fit.
I'd love to see Ola'apu play halfback and just control that team as well in the New South Wales Cup for the rest of the season.
Make sure Joash Papali'i plays fullback for the rest of the year. Look, 120 times better when Joash is playing fullback.
Yeah.
Rajab, maybe, you know, the professional 14.
Put Ola'apu and Haywood in the halves, please. Anyway, the... I don't know if this is for the NRL development, but recently in the New South Wales Cup, we've fallen into a trap of moving players and key positions around a lot. So we need to stop that. I want us to win the New South Wales Cup, of course. Winning no matter what the grade was.
New Brown. That's what I'm surprised about New Brown departing as well. He, you know, grand final winner of New South Wales Cup for us. He knows what it is at that level to go the next step and, you know, being a good hooker and lock. Just thought it was interesting, especially after losing Joshy Reynolds.
Saturday, 3 p.m. at Queensland Cup. The Clydesdales are back at home against the North Devils. The North Devils are 11th and the Clydesdales are 13th. So maybe could be an upset, but... To be full disclosure, if you're not following the Queensland Cup, the Devils are on 7 wins, the Clydesdales 2. So that is not as close as it sounds. Just looking at the ladder now, Scotty, you pulled attention to it last week. Ipswich Jets, none from 18. that's a bad season. So just Clydesdales, first year back in the Queensland Cup. You know, it hasn't been great, but it's not whatever happening at Ipswich.
But Ipswich Jets, attention to Queensland Cup, but I'm pretty sure they're a team that's usually theirs or theirs abouts, usually.
Yeah, well, they dominated it a couple of years ago for a long period of time. I think recently, last 2 or 3 years, there's been a, you know, they haven't been dominating, but they've been around the finals. So to see what's happened there. And it's one of those old, big Queensland brands, the Ipswich Jets, proud club. So,
very surprised at that. But also, there's some. I was looking at it the other day, just thinking, what's gone wrong at Ipswich Jets? And I'm just like, Reece Jacks is playing for them, and nailed a few others, just. You know, but yeah, I don't know that'd be the Broncos feeder club, wouldn't it?
I think at the moment they are. There's a bit of switching around.
Next year, the Melbourne Bears have gone to Brisbane next year.
Yeah, not a fan of that. That may be another topic for the off season. That's not Bulldogs topic at the moment, so we'll finish this up now. But good to sit here and be able to chat to you, Scotty, after a win again. And we're not far away. One more win, and it's most successful season in the last four seasons, including this one. So there's been tough times. Who knows? A strong finish may just give us the ledge to start the next season on.